is Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, our 2002 CD is out. We're going to play a cut. We're going to have three cuts from it today. We're going to play for you. So get out your tape recorder, and you can say, I tape it off the radio, so I don't need to buy the CD. Well, we've got it. You don't know what we got on here. Some of the stuff we got on here, you can't get anywhere. And it's a double CD. It's only $20. Go to the website right now and order your Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD. Coming up this hour will be, is it going to be Bobby Pants Go Boom or Pants Go Brown? Yeah, it'll be Plain Go Boom. One of the all-time great moments in the history of radio. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. So let's see. Well, we have more celebrities mobilizing against a possible war with Iraq. More than 100 entertainers signed a letter to Bush. Blah, 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 blah. Janine Garofalo, is she not getting work? What are you doing all of a sudden, Janine? I mean, we think you're very funny. We enjoy you. You're cute. You're lovable. You're talented. What's with you? You're hanging around with all these old, crusty old guys like Martin Sheen all of a sudden? This is not going to help you get any extra work. It may get you invited to some parties. People may say,
Courageous Dan, you took the other night on, what was his name, Coppell?
Well, can you hire me for that?
You know, I tell you what, casting is not my...
Here are some of the things they're saying. Movie stars, it's great, it's fine, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with our artists, quote-unquote, talking about the future of the country. I guess it's what keeps America's moral compass pointed in the right direction, or so they would tell us. But then they say something. It's okay if you're an actor or any person for that matter and you say, well, this is what I want to do. Okay, you want to do that. Yes. Why? Uh-oh, here it comes. Now I got to hear the reason why, and that's when they sound, forgive me, not too bright. I'm not saying that these guys aren't patriotic. I'm just saying they don't sound very bright. Tony Shalhoub? Tony Lube, star of the ABC detective show Monk, says this, quote, this notion of preemptive war is setting a precedent, and we must ask ourselves, where does this end? Where is the next preemptive strike? Preemptive? You should have been with Craig and I in New York on the 11th of September. You should have seen the hole in the ground and the families that came to say goodbye to their loved ones so that we could put the spirits and the souls of the dead to rest so that we could put a monument there and we could go about rebuilding on that site. Were you there? Did you see? What do you mean preemptive, Daddy-O? What are you talking about? These were terrorists. These were people that murdered our people. Iraq sponsors and exports terrorism. It's been going on for a lot of years. I'm a little bit older than a lot of you guys, but I remember the news stories of people being machine-gunned in airports in Rome and in Athens, airplanes being hijacked hither and thither, people being with their throats slit and thrown into the ocean off of cruise ships, airplanes blown out of the sky, one, two, three different airplanes blown out of the sky in the 1980s, Marines blown up in their barracks. Need I go on? And finally, it came home to America. Finally, after all of the bloodletting, after the gutters running like rivers with blood, finally, they were able to pull it off. You know, my hat's off to them. Nice move there, Ahmed. They were able to take down the Twin Towers and with them 3,000 people. So this has been going on for a long time. And finally, on September the 12th, the United States of America, the people of America, the farmers and the poets, the writers and the insurance salespeople, the nurses and the musicians, we all got together and we said, no, this has got to end sometime. I mean, this, now they took out 3,000 of our people. We got to stand up like men and women here. We also had the very wonderful story of Flight 93. And, of course, we've eulogized those people and we've made them into heroes. And why not? What's wrong with that? They did. They did something very gutsy. So now we're doing something about it. And along comes these guys. It's like it's news to them that there was anything like 9/11.
When is this going to end? Why, this is a preemptive...
Preemptive? Read a newspaper, man. Put down the CSI 24 script and read a newspaper. Put down the Monk script. 3,000 human beings. Or is that something that we ought to just, well, you know, it happens. It happens to the best of us. Let's just move on. You know, if they'd blown up LAX... On New Year's Eve, remember when that guy was caught in Seattle? He had a trunk full of explosives. If they had done LAX, and I mean they'd say they blew the Bradley Terminal right off of its foundation, I wonder if the people, the community, the entertainment community in Los Angeles would be saying the same thing. If they could drive to LAX and see the hole in the ground where I don't know how many thousands of people could have died. Or maybe if those men and women on 93 had not had the guts, which of course they did, and they allowed those hijackers to fly that plane into the Capitol building, maybe you could go to Washington, take a look at a big hole in the ground where the Capitol of the United States of America used to sit. But it didn't happen. Some people did some things. They got, I'm about to say the word, they got violent. Yes, Americans aboard a hijacked airplane, Flight 93, actually got violent. What do you think of that, Mr. Sheen? I know that it's something, it's preemptive, I guess. See, the hijackers hadn't done anything violent yet. Those guys on that plane hadn't. But they preemptively poured boiling water on their heads and kicked the crap out of them and left them with their necks broken and their backs broken, laying in the aisles there of the flight, of the Flight 93, and then they attempted as best they could to try to bring that plane under control and try to land it. And the ultimate act of heroism, of course, is that that plane came down short of a town. But anyway, we've got these movie stars that don't get that. Mr. Shalhoub, Martin Sheen, Mike Farrell, nearly a dozen performers. Jeanine Garofalo has said, quote, patriotism is love for your country. When somebody's accusing you of being anti-American, that's a bully tactic somebody uses to get people to shut up and comply. Whether it impacts my career, who cares? It's not going to impact your career. You know full well it won't impact your career. You know full well, Jeanine, I didn't going to do jack squat to your career. You're going to go to another cocktail party. People are going to start licking your rear end over what you said in the newspaper. You get another gig. Everything's just going to be cozy. Don't worry about it. Mike Farrell, who co-starred in television's MASH and Providence, said Hollywood was speaking out to show average citizens that it was okay to voice dissent, even if there's really no reason to voice dissent. Mr. Farrell said, oh, well, we just feel like being contrary, to show other people they can do it too. It is inappropriate for the administration to trump up a case in which we are ballyhooed into war. True. It is inappropriate. Now, I read the Amnesty International report on not only what he's doing to his own people, but let's say we didn't care what Hussein did to his own people. Let's say that it was his business. Because if you're to believe these people, Hussein can torture and murder children. He can rape women in front of their own husbands. That's his business. If America were to go in to do something about that, well, we can't. We should do it under the aegis of the United Nations, etc. And I may even agree with that. But let's talk about the use of chemical weapons on his own people. Let's talk about the fact that he had stores of anthrax and other biological, biological elements. That's a fact. That's a United Nations fact. And let's talk about that the guy was using dual-purpose installations so he could switch them over. So in 1 minute, it's a baby milk factory, or they're making aspirin, but as soon as the UN inspectors split, now they turn it back over and they're going to be making themselves measles or whatever the hell they're going to stick in the end of those scuds. They're developing a strain of genital warts, and it's just going to... Okay? And add to that the thing that nobody wants to talk about anymore because it's not cool, and we're kind of over it, and we're past that, and that's 9/11. Because, you know, it ain't cool to keep hammering that one home. I mean, it was a fluke, right? It'll never happen again. Yeah, okay, sure. So people still want to live in the 20th century, man. Like, that we're not vulnerable, and war is bad, and war is bad no matter what, and being violent is somehow bad no matter what. And yeah, it's okay to protect our country, but why don't we let the UN inspectors do their job? That's exactly what we're doing. We're letting the UN inspectors do their job. Okay? Now, I'm in favor of Bush coming out and saying what he's got, but the minute he shows me what he's got, go in and do it. Do it. Do it long, hard, and with repeated lubrication. Or, in fact, don't do it with any lubrication. Just do it. Just do it repeatedly, take a cigarette break, and keep doing it again. And then, did you see the latest? The White House said, oh, yeah, they'll use nuclear weapons, too. Hey, I love that. Damn right. We got them for a reason. We got nuclear weapons for a reason. And I personally, this is just my opinion, I'm a little weary. I've run out of patience with a towel head telling me that I'm the great Satan and that I'm a big pot of crap and that they want to butcher me up wherever I go and Jews too. It's a little wearying. And America did this, and America did that, and America's the cause of this, and America's the cause of that. So if they want to go around and kill our people, innocent civilians, innocent human beings, wherever they find them, they can do that. Well, guess what, Ahmed? I got a little something here I'd like to show you. It's called a nuclear weapon. You would never use that. You don't have... Oh, really? Watch this. We'll use it. We got some choice stuff. They're talking about the Pakistanis. They got a missile that goes across the street or something. They're worried about Hussein. He parks a missile. He's all excited because he's got one that can go around the block. We got missiles that go thousands of miles. We launch them from submarines. We launch them from what are those things called? Silos. Farm silos filled with grain. 1 minute there's grain and popcorn in there, and the next minute, out comes a missile. Here comes the snake. He's out of his cage. We have got ICBM, long range, short range, surface to air, air to surface. We've got some nice things. We got some nice toys, and we haven't used any of them. None of them. That's the kind of constraint that we exercise. That's the kind of ultimately very moral country that we are. I ain't saying that we haven't had politicians that have been scumbags, and I ain't saying on occasion that some of you guys or even me aren't scumbags. But you know what? Overall, America kind of does a pretty good job with the nuclear arsenal that we've got. And the only reason why those guys in Pakistan and India haven't launched those things yet in an excited raghead show of power is because we're standing around saying, no, you're not gonna. So we got them, and finally we said we're going to use them. So they tried dropping some of that biologic jazz. You know, it's not such a difficult thing to turn that entire Middle East. I'm talking about Cairo, Syria, you know, the usual suspects. It's not a tough thing to turn that whole thing into just a one big vacant lot and start all over again. We can plumb in, we can send in electrical, we can get cable run in, and we can make it the 51st state. Does that sound anachronistic? Does that sound old-fashioned? Does that sound like something from the Cold War? Well, baby, welcome to the new millennium. Sounds like a good idea to me. We can go down there and, you know, gas up. God, that felt good. All right, now for something really funny. If you think nuking Iran and Iraq is a riot, which I personally think it's hysterically funny, wait till you hear what we got coming up next from our world-famous Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD. Coming up next on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I can't play the plane go boom cut until after the bottom of the hour because it's 6 minutes long. These cuts are long, but they go like that. I mean, it's just too much stuff, and I don't have enough time before the break. And I was going to play Margaret's Greek kebab hut where she's afraid of being raped by Greek athletes, but that's 6 minutes. And then I wanted to do, was it the Jeff Dowder pee-in pool or what was it? And that thing was like 8-9 minutes. Paul Tubby Lane peeing in his pants. I don't know. There's an awful lot of urine jokes on this thing, and that's one of the reasons why you should buy the Phil Henry Best of the Year 2002 CD. Call that number now, that all-important number. I like it when they say that all-important number. 877, and so I'm going to use it, 877-616-7445. Or if you're one of those people who likes to spell out the numbers and see if they spell something out, that's 616-PHIL. 877-616-PHIL. All right, well, if I can't play the CD here, I'm going to have to go into our news a little early and talk about some of the things that are going on around the country. Number one, Supreme Court ruling on burning crosses. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I just wanted to kind of check in with you guys on this burning the cross thing. I think there's a Supreme Court test on whether or not it's protected speech and whether or not a guy burns a cross. And, you know, and if you're a black family, you move into a neighborhood, doesn't he have the right to burn a cross? Let me tell you what I would do. I would have a gun and I'd go out. And if a guy tried to burn a cross on my property, I'd fire off a few rounds into the grass around his feet. Oh, maybe I'd hit him. Maybe I'd fire a few rounds into the grass closer to my feet. How about that? Just to give him the message. That's what I would do. That's what I recommend any African-American family do. And if someone were to attempt to come into your... See, I notice I don't say shoot at the guy when he's on your property, because apparently some burglar somewhere was able to sue because somebody shot him while he was on the property but not in the house, and believe it or not, he won. So if he comes into your home, rapes your wife, and steals all of your money, and leaves the house, and you shoot him as he's outside, you'll get sued, and you'll get even more money taken from you. So kill him in your home. In fact, do it before he does anything to your wife. That's number one. That's my recommendation. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. See, all this stuff about is it your constitutional right to burn a cross? Really? Oh, okay. Maybe it is. Would I suggest those of us who don't like crosses being burned on our property, though, buy a gun. Buy a gun. I'm very serious. Maybe I'm promoting violence, I don't know, but I don't believe that you can go out and have dialogue with Aryan nations, white people, resistance of the world, or whatever these screwball organizations, the American Nazi assholes of America, etc., you know, skinheads and their boyfriends, or whatever these organizations are. You buy a gun, because they have guns. And if they point the gun at you, you point one back at them. Now, that's what I honestly believe should be done. Yes, you should go through the police and make sure that the police are fully apprised of the events and the harassment that you're going through. But there are times, you know it and I know it, the cops can't get there in time, or they can't protect you from every single kind of intimidation. So somebody comes onto your property and they attempt to burn a cross on your property, and I could tell the Supreme Court the ruling right now, no, it is not constitutional to go onto a man's private property and burn a cross there. Did that help out the Virginia Supreme Court, or would you like me to have my daughter explain it to you? I can have Catherine call you up.
Hello, Dr. Supreme Court.
Well, how dare you call up the Virginia Supreme Court? Why, this is all Virginia.
I know. My dad say asshole.
I'm an asshole, am I? The sovereign state of old Virginia. And, oh, give it a rest.
You don't go onto a guy's property. Guy comes on, you take a gun, and you pump some rounds into the grass so that he sees you have the weapon and he hears you discharge the weapon, and then you say, get out of here. If you do it again, I'm going to do this again. If you attempt to assault me, then I will defend myself. You know, what's the secret? It's too long we've been... Too long with these organizations that burn crosses, we've been playing this game where we're going to find out whether it's constitutional. And, you know, I got news for you. There comes a time when garbage like this needs to be dealt with and spoken to in the language that they speak. They have weapons. You get a weapon. And this is exactly what Malcolm X was talking about. And I'll tell you, he's speaking for every American, not just black people. Any means necessary. Get yourself a gun. And then get a hose and put out the fire. After they flee down the street, wetting their pants all the way, get a hose and put the cross out. That's what I would do. Or I'd let it burn. I, you know.
What are you doing, man?
I thought I'd let it burn.
Tell you kidding me or something?
Well, it looks kind of nice, man. It's a nice night for a fire.
1-800-449-8686. Coming up next, a cut from our best of CD, World Famous.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of Bounds. Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Mar, just released Best of the Year 2002, Phil Hendry CD. World famous is the much requested now, Plane Go Boom.
Bobby is on the conveyor belt right now. Bobby, tell Lisa. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa, can you hear Bobby?
I can hear him just fine.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, now, Bobby, tell us what you see on the conveyor belt.
That's a sweater. A jacket.
That's right.
A briefcase. Plane go boom. Plane go boom.
All right, now, he just said plane go boom because he saw a gun. And although it isn't really a gun, it's a comb. He's getting better. But I dare you.
Wait. He just said plane go boom, and it's not a bomb, and it's not a gun, it's a comb?
That's right. And I have to.
Well, you're not going to give that kid the
I got to. Just.
Why did
you. Please stop abusing that child?
I'm not. I'm making him
understand.
No,
what you're doing is abuse. What you're doing is degrading his person.
Pants go brown.
That's right. Your pants went brown.
What you're doing is degrading his person. How would you feel if someone hooked you up to a machine and shocked you every time that you got something wrong?
But what else is this kid going to do with his life? Sell flowers?
That kid could do a lot with his life if someone like you wasn't sitting there ruining his self-esteem.
Lisa, Bobby could spend the rest of his life sweeping up at McDonald's, scaring children.
And you know what? I would be a lot happier with him doing that than what you're doing to him right now.
Bobby, quit playing with the conveyor belt, okay?
Plane go boom.
No, the plane's not
going to
go
boom. I would be much happier seeing my son working at McDonald's asking someone, do you want fries with that, than seeing him hooked up to a conveyor belt and being shot. I don't even know how the parents of this child, Bobby...
I'm Bobby.
...can allow you to do this.
How old is Bobby, 23?
I'm Bobby.
He's 23, yeah. And he turned off the conveyor belt. Give me the phone, Bobby.
Well, what I would say then, Vernon, you all right?
I'm just trying to get the phone away from him.
What I would say primarily is that... I can't hear...
Give me the phone.
I'm Bobby.
I know you're Bobby.
How can you have this guy checking stuff at an airport when he won't give you the phone back? You know what I'm saying?
Bobby, watch cheese.
Here's some cream cheese, goddamn. I would turn this off.
And the fact that you would have the nerve to even call the boy a retard, to me, is extremely offensive, because that child is not a retard. And you need to look at what you're doing.
What the hell is going on? What's going on?
He wrapped the phone cord around my throat.
And you want him working in an airport?
You want him working in an airport?
What?
You want him...
I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Hello? This is ridiculous. Get the phone away from the kid, okay?
All right, now look. Bobby,
you want him working in an airport. Do you honestly trust your security and the security of our nation to a boy who would wrap a phone cord around your own neck?
Say that again.
What are you doing?
I gotta get the cord off.
This is insane.
Bobby, dirty now.
Oh, clean him up, will you, Bobby? Lisa, thank you for your call. Go clean the kid up, okay?
Bobby, take the cord off, will you?
Bobby, go brown.
All right. Mr. Dozier?
What?
Are you okay?
Well, if it were not for me, he'd be mopping up his own drool at McDonald's.
I'm now going to end the conversation, okay?
Don't forget, here's the security system. It's way at the best.
Plane go boom.
There it is. Plane go
on the conveyor belt.
Shut up. There it is, Plane Go Boom from our world-famous Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD. That right alone is worth the price of admission, but you get so much more. How many minutes? We got 135 minutes worth of material. It's a double CD this year for the same price of $20. You can't beat it. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Now, you talk about making yourself feel better for the holidays. And my friend's place I've spoken about at odd times on the program, just what they do. Some of you may be new to the show and may not entirely understand what the connection is, but they're a resource center for the homeless who homeless kids aged 12 through 24 who live on the streets in Hollywood, California. These kids come from all over the country. They come from every walk of life. And one of the things they have in common is that they can't go home. Their parents don't want them back. Some of them are drug abusers. Some of them are gay and were driven out of their home in their town because of that. Some of them are mentally retarded. Some of them seriously emotionally disturbed. I mean, these are kids. And of course, they're when I say kid, they're the kind of kids that people don't like. They're teenagers. See, everybody wants to help a kid when it's a cuddly little baby in a blankie. Or they're real, you know, they're real cuddly when they're strolling around at three and they're waddling around and crapping on things. And they're cute then. But then they get to be 12 and 13 and they get tall and gangly and their legs get long and the pimples break out and the breasts start to grow and they don't understand what's happening to them and they know that they feel passionately about things. You know, teenagers are great people because they're really colorful people, they're really exciting people, they're really energetic people, they're really pissed off people, there's all kinds of stuff. And for some people who have kids, all of a sudden it gets to be too much for them and the kids leave home. And there's phones down at my friend's place where the workers down there, the people who work there, and one of these days I'm going to come in with all of their names because they're incredible people, say, do you want to call home? He says, I would, but nobody's going to want to talk to me. You know, I mean, it's just stuff like that. And the people that work, that volunteer down at my friend's place in the Phil Hendry and Maria Sanchez building, right there at Hollywood and the Hollywood Freeway, they come from all walks of life. They're writers, insurance salesmen, they're doctors, they're musicians, they're in the broadcasting business, they're in the construction business. We had a guy who listens to our show who's a painter, and he's a construction subcontractor, and he went down and he did a bunch of painting, and he did a lot of refurbishment, and donated his time for the center, and stuff like that. So anyway, make a long story much shorter. This is where every single nickel from the sale of our CD goes. Every nickel, other than the production cost. We've got the jewel case. We have some artwork on the jewel case. We have some artwork on the CD themselves, on the CDs themselves. And we have the actual pressing of the CD. That's a certain amount of money. After that, all the money goes to my friend's place. We don't get any. I don't want any. I could take a percentage. I could do what a lot of guys, you know, a lot of these people do. And a percentage goes to, you know, all that is, that's just a sales hook. When you say, hey, if you come down here to Charlie's Bar and we'll, you know, a chick will give you a lap dance and a percentage goes to the Blind Infant Foundation or something. Well, all that is a sales hook. You think that guy cares? That's just my opinion. Try giving all of your money for a couple of nights to one of these organizations. That's what we do. That's why we're superior morally and physically in many ways to most people. Yes, the Phil Hendry Show, morally superior. No, all I'm saying is we're giving all the money because I think that's where you really make the statement. And you know exactly where the bread's going. This ain't the Phil Hendry Charities. It ain't the Phil Hendry Foundation. This isn't the Bob McGraw Place for Crippled Kids. You know, we're not being vague. This is exactly, and go to their website, homelessyouth.org, and find out more about my friend's place. But please pick up one of our CDs if you're a Phil Hendry fan, or you have one or two or 10 or 16 in your family. God, I wonder what happened to that family. A whole family came to see me when I was at the sports arena from San Diego. There was about six kids, and they all drove up, brothers and sisters, to visit me. So where are you guys? Why don't you buy a whole bunch? Buy like 10. Like maybe buy like 1.5 for every kid in the family or something. You can do it on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can do it by calling 877-616-7445. We thank you.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't judge me by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny on the block. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You ought to see me when I start talking and the mic isn't turned on. It's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, the first time I ever opened a mic, I froze. My very first day on the air anywhere, I couldn't talk. And it was at WBJW, Winter Park, Florida. The Entertainer. I remember the top of the hour IDs. You're listening to WBJW, Winter Park, The Entertainer. And these embarrassing call letters of WBJW. And we're playing some kind of music. I don't know what it was. Well, it wasn't nothing I liked. And as soon as I opened the mic, I just... And I had a guy standing with me who was training me, and he immediately started punching buttons to get a commercial going or something. So I don't do that anymore. I start talking before the mic is on. I've kind of gone, you know, 180 degrees on that one. I just don't shut up. I'm doing my show as I'm driving home in the car. Another thing I like to talk to you guys about, and there I am just driving up the 101, babbling to myself. Just never ends. Trent Lott is the senator from Mississippi, who's the Senate Majority Leader, and he got into some problem a couple of days ago when he said that Strom Thurmond, and that could only be the name of a man from the South, Strom or Minnesota, Strom Thurmond, could only be a hockey player, a chef from Minnesota in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, or a Southern senator. Strom Thurmond. Nobody blinks at that, but they're always making the big wisecracks about Uma Thurman or the Oprah Winfrey thing with Letterman. How about that Strom Thurmond gag? That ain't bad either. Strom Thurmond ran for president in 1948 as a segregationist, and Trent Lott said that we all should have voted for him in 1948 for president. If we had, we wouldn't have the problems we got now. Now this guy Lott's trying to dig his way out from underneath that one. Some people say, what's so wrong with that? Well, nothing. A guy can express his opinion all he wants. And other people can express their opinion, too. Other people can say, we don't dig where he's coming from, and he should lose his job. See, that's an opinion, too. So when you say a guy's got a right to say, hey, this segregationist, Dixiecrat, good old boy, who was running for president in 1948 on a segregationist, Dixiecrat platform, no integration, who misinterpreted the 14th Amendment embarrassingly, that guy would have made a great president. Well, now you've kind of thrown in with that guy. No matter what your press aide says, no matter what apology you come up with, you believe what you just said. And I got news for you. Al Campanis is sitting on his ass. Is he dead? Al Campanis is dead now. But he was sitting on his ass with no job because he made just the same kind of misstatement. And there's another guy, Jimmy the Greek. Remember him? Probably you don't. Jimmy the Greek used to do football picks on the CBS midday, on the CBS in-game show, CBS NFL Today. He lost his job when he made some crack about how black babies were made. He really believed it was through breeding, interbreeding. That's how you got big black babies, which is a quasi-science called eugenics that's been totally discredited. The Nazis believed in it, and you know where they are. In any event, you're not going to be getting any serious science from a cat named Jimmy the Greek. I don't know, unless it's the science of, you know, what's the spread on the Detroit-Chicago game. But he lost his job. Okay. There's this guy, Trent Lott, opened his big fat mouth. What's it going to be, man? You're gone. You're dead. You are dead. They got a black caucus in Congress of black Democrats, black Democratic representatives, who are not going to let this rest. And it's funny how the mighty can fall just like that. Now, this guy, Trent Lott, was a big wind. He was a big wind on all kinds of issues, particularly Clinton. He was a huge wind on the president's war on terrorism. He's been a big wind on a lot of things. A real comer, a real player, possibly a presidential candidate, although he's a little old. All of a sudden, within a 48-hour span, this guy's political career is ready to go right down the crapper. And for no other reason than his own fault. Nobody's trying to screw him. Nobody's trying to hang him out to dry. Nobody's trumping anything up. The guy's getting hung by his own words. The guy came out and said a segregationist president. Now, understand for you younger people what that means. There was a time, believe it or not, I ain't talking about slavery. There was a time when I was born, the year was 1952. throughout the entire 1950s and earlier, African Americans, or in those days they were called Negroes or coloreds, were not allowed to drink at the same water fountain in certain states that had what were called Jim Crow laws. Most of those states were southern states. There were some states that had de facto Jim Crow laws. Chicago, for instance, one of the most virulently racist cities in the history of the world, was not a southern city. It's a northern city. It's a midwestern city, but it's one of the most racist pits that God ever allowed to stand. And there was a lot of de facto Jim Crow in Chicago. There was quite a bit here in Los Angeles, etc. But down south, they codified it. They put it into law. So you couldn't drink at the same drinking fountain. You couldn't eat at the same lunch counter. You couldn't use the same dressing rooms in department stores. You had to sit at the back of the bus, which is the most famous of all the Jim Crow laws, because that's the one that Rosa Parks challenged with the support of the NAACP. A lot of people think that Rosa Parks, that was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. No, it was a planned event. She didn't know when she was going to do it, but she knew she was going to do it, which is fine. Other Jim Crow laws had to do with public accommodations in hotels, etc. And then there was a lot of de facto stuff. Walk into a hotel lobby, I need a room, you got a black face, the guy says, geez, I'm sorry, we're full up. That was what was going on. That's what Strom Thurmond endorsed in 1948. He liked that. He wanted more of it. He wanted America to continue as that kind of a nation. And then we saw the fire hoses turn on in 1962 in Selma. We saw the reality of the Klan murdering four children in a church. And we suddenly knew what segregation meant. It meant hate and nothing less than hate. It was just pure hatred between the races. And we've tried to clean our act up. But every now and again, some clod like Trent Lott comes along and shows his true colors. I'm sure he didn't want to. I'm sure he got out of bed the other day intending to just go on out and be the apple of everybody's eye in the Republican Party. Everybody going to kiss his ass up one side and down the next like they did every day. And he was going to make a speech there at a luncheon honoring Strom Thurmond for surviving 100 years and still looking, well, I was going to say good. And instead he opened his big fat mouth, shoved both his feet in it, and now the guy's dead meat. Dead meat. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Later on in our program, we'll talk about Charles Barkley and Gloria Allred and how Charles is finally seeing that Gloria is nothing more than a glorified ambulance chaser. That and much, much more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Now, Phil Hendry.
I didn't know that that happened, Chris.
It happened on Thanksgiving Day, Mr. Hendry. My mother died of breast cancer, and ever since then I've been thinking about what she wanted me to do, which was to finish school, and she told me that 2 days before she died that she wanted me to go back and get my education. And
what, were you in a modeling school?
I'm taking classes in modeling and acting. I've done some modeling and acting, but I feel I need more training, and I want to do this for my mother. She died of breast cancer, and it's a disease that affects a lot of women. And so I want to do this business idea that I have, I think, can benefit women and help find a cure for breast cancer.
What was the idea? And this is to help you get through school?
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to say that there's a lot of sad things, I think, about Christmas, but the sad and pathetic things to think about on Christmas, the most saddest is a woman who's single at Christmas time and just seems that she's so incomplete. I mean, women who are single at Christmas don't have a man, they don't have the children, they don't have the cooking or the tree or whatever they have that they like to do at Christmas time. And I've been kicking around this idea as a lottery. But I can't help all the women out there that will be alone at Christmas, but I can help at least one woman. Who,
you think it's pathetic and sad that...
That there's a lot of women alone at Christmas time.
Oh, okay. That they don't have a family or those kinds of things?
Well, a lot of women just... The one thing a woman wants at Christmas time is to roll over and see her man there and have him say to her, Merry Christmas, honey, and give her a kiss, and they go off and they unwrap presents or have the eggnog or what have you. One of the things my mother did for me is, and I say this, I'm trying to say this to be humble, is my mother did sleep with a man who was good looking. I never knew my father, but my mother said he was really good looking. And my mother was very beautiful too before she had to have her mastectomy, which that didn't cure it, then she also died.
I understand.
But I'm very good looking, that people say, and according to a lot of women that I slept with, I'm good looking. So I do have a lot of sexiness. And in the lottery, if you're a single woman and you're looking at another Christmas as usual by yourself, and you won't have what women want, which is a man to say good morning, honey, Merry Christmas, if you buy a $10 ticket, send your name, address, phone number, a photograph of yourself to me, then we will have a drawing in my apartment. And the lady's name, what I draw, I would spend the night at her house.
All right, and when you say spend the night, be clear.
No, it's not sass. It's not sass. If you want, I'm not going to rule it out, but it's just I'll spend the night, and then in the morning I will be, she can roll over, I'll give her a kiss and say, good morning, honey, Merry Christmas, and I kiss her. And if at that time she wants sass, then I will do that too, although that's not what the original bargain was, but if she's hot or whatever, I will. I mean, I don't know. That's something that we...
Well, okay, so you're offering women who are alone at Christmas the chance to enter a lottery to win you.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing to say it that way, but yes, sir.
So that you'll be with them at Christmas time.
Yeah, yes, sir. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm conceited or anything, but...
And you're offering to spend the night at their house Christmas Eve, wake up in the morning, open up presents with them, and basically pretend that you're the man in their life for Christmas Day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because I know women pretty good because I have been good looking and they do, I've spent a lot of time with them. And the thing I hear over and over again from women is, Christmas, I don't want to be alone, you know? And so I talked to Lance Germain, who's my manager, who's also going to try to help me get acting jobs. He said that's what we ought to do, and so that's what we're doing.
Do you have pictures of yourself? I know you want pictures of the women.
Yes, sir. I do have a picture of me. It's my manager, who's Lance Germain, took it of me right as I was getting up in the morning.
Okay.
And my hair is very wild. I have soft, a sexy look on my face. And I'm also nude from the waist up. And also, and I don't mean this to be crude or anything, but on the picture we did it for sex reasons, you can see a hint of pubic hair. But not, it's not, you know.
It's not pornographic.
No, sir, it's not.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton is with us. What is the tie-in here, Chris, with breast cancer?
I just think that I know that a lot of women get breast cancer, and I want women to know that I'm interested in curing breast cancer. And so I'm going to give $50 of the money that I make to the Breast Cancer Foundation.
All right, so the women pay $10 to spend Christmas Day with you.
To have a chance.
To have a chance to spend Christmas Day with you. And $50 of the proceeds will go to breast cancer.
Yes, because my mother died of it, and she wanted me to get my education. So I'm trying to do that, but I can't do it if I don't have no money, and that's how I want to earn the money.
That's how you want to earn the money.
Right, and I just felt... I've been listening to women complain about how sad they are that they don't have a boyfriend on Christmas Day. And I realized that, yeah, it is kind of pathetic. I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty pathetic, you know, not having, being a woman on Christmas with no boyfriend or nowhere to go.
Well, what about guys?
Well, I mean, guys can just go to a bar and hang out and stuff. But women who are by themselves on Christmas is pathetic. And you just feel like you want to turn away when you see them. That's all. And so rather, I don't want to turn away, Mr. Henry. I want to look at him and say, hey, I'll be your man for Christmas Day.
You know, I got to tell you, I've been alone on a lot of Christmas days.
Yeah?
And it wasn't the greatest thing in the world for me.
Well, but as a guy, did it really kill you?
Well, no, it didn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Guys can be alone on Christmas. But women, there's nothing sadder or more pathetic than a woman who has, you know, no boyfriend on Christmas. It's embarrassing for them. What I'm going to do is they can win a chance for me to come to their house and be their boyfriend.
All right, Chris Norton is with us. He's a good-looking guy. He's trying to earn enough money to get through school. His mother died of breast cancer on Thanksgiving Day, man. That's...
It was pretty rough, Phil.
That's got to be rough. And your mother said, please continue your education.
Yes, sir. And it's just that I don't have the money to do it, but I want to make the money honestly, and that's why I wanted to use your show.
So the money that you make from this lottery, the women buy a ticket for $10 each.
Yes, sir.
And then you put it into a hopper, and then you pull out the name of the winning woman, and that woman you'll spend Christmas Day with.
Yes, sir, it is. And I'm doing it for my mother and for all the breast, for breast cancer. I mean, not for breast cancer, for women that have it, that they won't have it no more. I mean, I'm not saying that I support it or anything.
No, I understand what you're saying. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, you took out extra fire and vandalism insurance?
Oh, that's correct.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, Phil, it's pretty safe. I mean, again, I'm not bragging, but I am sort of good-looking. And it's a fairly safe bet after women see my picture and then don't win, the women that don't win the lottery, they'll want to come to my house anyway to meet me, and I may not be able to control the crowds is what I'm saying. And that means a lot of women will want to break windows. I'm sure I'll have vandalism at broken windows. And I also want to say at this time that I will give $50 to the Breast Cancer Research Fund.
Yeah, you already said you're going to get $50 to the breast cancer research. You think that you're good-looking enough that women are going to want to come down and meet you?
I think so, yeah.
And they'll riot?
No, I don't know if they'll riot, but they'll want to come down and meet me and look at me. And, yeah, they'll probably, you know, want to come down and meet me, and they'll bust some windows or something. I mean, one of the things...
They'll break some, okay.
Well, one thing, these single women have to go home to their parents without a man. I mean, they spend the whole day with their siblings who are married with kids, and they sit alone. For $10, I could change that. You'd have the chance not to sit there alone and look pathetic on Christmas Day. Your sister's married. Your brother's married. Your mom and dad are obviously married, unless they're divorced. But chances are they got new husbands and wives. And there you are, a single woman, looking pathetic. This is also, by the way, a good way for lesbians who are not out yet to go to their parents' house with a guy. So you can, you know, put your name in the hopper that way.
All right, well, Chris Norton is here. He says for women to be single on Christmas Day, for women not to have a date on Christmas Day, for women to go to their parents' house, their friends' house, their siblings' houses, or to anybody's house without a man is sad and pathetic. The most embarrassing thing there is for a woman, and he is going to rectify that. He's going to make it right. He will offer you a chance at having him go with you. $10. Chris is a handsome guy. I've got a picture of him here. You may win the lottery to go to his house and or to go to your parents' house. And on top of that, he'll spend the night with you, unwrap Christmas presents with you, a full 24 hours having a man in your life on Christmas Day. I wonder if it's worth it to women to just go ahead and go out and try to win the lottery for this guy. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry with Chris Norton. He's a 28-year-old telemarketer from Hermosa Beach, California, and he is looking to put himself up for bid, and he'll spend Christmas Day with a single woman out there, any single woman who wins the lottery for him, because it's pathetic to be alone at Christmas.
I Mr. Hendry, if I could just say something.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying that I think, I mean, it is embarrassing to see women who are alone at Christmas time, but that's not bad. I mean, I'm not judging them. I will spend the day with you, but I do want to have a picture, is all I'm saying.
All right, well, so now you're putting some qualifications on it. I thought you said if you pulled their name out, that's good enough.
No, sir, it is. But I'm, all I'm saying is I do want to have a picture, because if a woman is not, if she's alone at Christmas, that's pathetic enough. But if she's also alone and she's not that hot, that's where I'm, that's why I need to have a picture.
If she's ugly, will you be with her if she wins the lottery?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying...
Or are you going to take a look at these pictures and just throw their names, not give them a chance? See what I'm saying? There's a little bit...
No, sir, it's a totally honest lottery. If you're alone, it's pathetic for single women to be alone at Christmas, number one. It's sad to be alone when your siblings are married, number two. It's embarrassing to walk down the street by yourself on Christmas going into a restaurant for something to eat. People want to turn away. That's number three. And number four, people want to turn away if they see you by yourself on Christmas. And I've been turning away from single women, and I want to do something about it.
All right, 1-800, do you have your TV on?
Yes, sir, I'll turn it down.
1-800-449-8686. Kathy, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to tell you that I would gladly donate $50 to the Breast Cancer Foundation if you would get the pathetic loser off the radio.
Well, now, you say he's a loser. Why? His mother, by the... Your mother died when, Chris?
My mother died on Thanksgiving Day from breast cancer, ma'am.
And I am very sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure you are.
But you need to get
sure
over
you
yourself. My mother passed away, too.
Oh, from breast cancer? No, I don't think so.
From AIDS.
Oh, well, if she wasn't sleeping with black guys.
What is that supposed to mean?
She's joking. Her mother didn't die from AIDS.
Yes, she did.
How'd she get it?
From sleeping with other guys. Probably somebody who went to win a lottery with some stuck on himself.
Wait a second. Are you honestly saying your mother...
She said her mother died from AIDS.
Did yes, she really?
Honest to God did.
You're not trying to make a joke.
What's
no,
funny about that?
Yeah,
well,
what is funny about
okay,
that?
Okay, we're not talking about AIDS, are we? We're talking about breast cancer.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have several women friends who have had it.
Well, my mother died from it, and the last thing she said to me was, get an education.
So now get a job
and
get an education. Don't try to rattle yourself off and act like you feel sorry for these women who can do perfectly fine without having a man to wake up next to.
Well, I'll tell you what. My mother, when she died, only had one breast. I bet your mother, when she died, had both of them.
Yeah, she did.
So,
all right. I mean, that's a little juvenile.
No, I mean, the lady's trying to say, I should get a job. I can't work and go to school at the same time.
I did.
I want to have something more than an AA degree. Thank you.
Hey, God. I have
Wait
two
a minute.
Bachelor degrees. Thank you.
Well, look, do you have a man?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, then you're
set. Do you have a woman?
You're set. Hey, I've slept with over 1,000 women.
Good for you. You probably gave lots of them AIDS. If not, you'll get it yourself. But
maybe I gave it to your mama.
You might have.
Do we have to do this?
She's being immature, bitch.
Okay,
where are we going? Is that it? All right. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
See, that bitch isn't going to win the lottery at all. If I get...
Well, what if she's hot-looking?
What?
What if she's hot-looking?
I will know. I won't want to be in her house.
Okay. What's her name?
Kathy.
What's her last name?
I don't know.
Okay, then how do you know that it's going to be her?
I'll know.
How will you know? She may send her face in, her picture in, her name, her address, everything. How will you know?
I can assure you, Ms. Turner, that I'm not going to allow some skank like that to win me on Christmas Day. And I would like to return to the issue at hand, which is my mother died of breast cancer, and I'm trying to find a cure for it by having women bid for me.
All right, let's talk about this. Women are going to bid for you, and then they're going to...
By the way, that caller was probably a lesbian, and I will not sleep with lesbians.
Well, the lesbians don't want to sleep with you, pal.
No, but some of them want to try out to see if they're a lesbian or not, and I will not be used as a guinea pig for them.
Why? What if you really like her?
Okay, number one, lesbians have not been with a man, so I would probably, physically damage them because of the girth, of it. It's probably very wide, and they haven't had anything that...
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Well, I want to...
No,
you
don't have to explain.
Well, I want to technically...
No, you just forget it, okay?
But I'm 3 inches...
Forget about it! Now, tell me about... How you're going to raise money for breast cancer again?
The $50 from the money that I...
How many women do you think are going to be interested in this?
I think about 10,000.
10,000 women?
From the announcement I make on your show, yeah.
10,000 women are going to send their names, their addresses, their email and everything to your address, and then you are going and charging them $10 per person.
That's right. That's right.
And that's $100,000.
Yes, sir. And that will get me through 4 years of a decent school, decent University of California campus, and postgraduate school.
Well, there's no doubt about that. All right, give us the address as to where they send $10, and they have to also do what, Chris?
I'd like you to send your email address, your name, your address, your phone number, and a photograph of yourself to Chris Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N, 610 South Ardmore Avenue, A-R-D-M-O-R-E, Los Angeles, 90005.
And then you're going to draw the winner on Friday, December 20th?
Yeah.
You know what we'd like to do, Chris?
No, sir.
I want to broadcast live from your apartment that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be so tight. I mean, I'd have Lance Germain there. He could take pictures and everything.
Well, that's you can have Lance Germain there. And Mr. Germain is who?
He's my manager. You need to get in touch with him for logistics.
All right, Lance Germain. Janice, do you want to talk to this Lance Germain? What's his number?
I got it here. 213. 213. 251-3189.
All right, so I got that, and Janice will talk to Lance Germain, and we'll do a live remote broadcast when you draw the name of the winning bachelorette next week at your thing.
Yeah. Also, the other thing is I don't want to say right now that I will go to the house of a woman that's double bag material, but I guess I have to.
I don't understand.
Well, you were asking me, will I go to the house of if she wins, even if she's hanky?
You say hanky, you mean ugly?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? So what's the answer?
I'm not sure that I can bring... I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can take it.
All right, well then, just draw the name of a good-looking woman, I guess. It's not going to be an honest lottery, ladies.
No, that's wrong to say, Mr. Henry.
No, it's not going to be honest. What do you mean you just don't know if you can take it?
Okay, I draw the name out, I draw the picture out, and she's two-bagged the hillbilly butterhug. You want me to sleep with that?
You said you're not sleeping with him. You said you're spending the day.
And you promised about the broadcast from my apartment?
What?
You promised to broadcast from my apartment?
Yeah.
All right, okay, I'll do it. I'll just dive right in and hold my nose.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So I'd like to make the announcement now. If you're ugly, I will also go to your house. But and I'll license my name for you to say I'm your boyfriend, but only for that day.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now, don't forget, we're going to be checking in with Chris Norton every day and find out how things are going in his lottery. He wants women to mail pictures of themselves with their phone numbers and their addresses and $10. And if he pulls your name on December the 20th, he'll spend the day with you. He'll spend Christmas Day with you. And if you'd like, he'll even have sex with you. Jesus. All right, we take you now to a radio station. It could be anywhere in America. It's the Christmas season. Many of the disc jockeys have been given time off. Only the weekend guys are working. But this particular weekend guy has called in sick, so they've had to call in another guy who is at a party to work his shift. Let's listen to what happens to Bob Heverly on The Bob Heverly Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody, my name's Bill Nafesman, and welcome back to our special Christmas holiday music. Going to give a weather right now. I'm in California, or I don't know where you are. I'm in California, but it's going to be a sunny day tomorrow But right now, I guess what you most care about, I'll find out.
What's the weather?
Okay. You're listening to KJA? Oh, there's only two A's. Right now, the weather is, well, it's dark. It's about all I can say about it. Okay, more Christmas melodies for your holiday season on KJA. There's two A's? See, KJAA. I thought there was four A's, but that would make a KJAAA, and that's impossible according to federal communication guidelines. Okay, here's a great song I want to play for you. Well, I can't find it, so I'll play it in a minute. Oh, wait a minute, 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 wait a minute. I got it right now. Here we go. Here we go.
KJAA Hitbound with Bob Heverly.
Bob Heverly here. Hitbound. Steamroller man. Steamroller. Steamheim man roller. Then. On KJAA. Okay, yeah, Steamroller and Walking in a Winter Wonder. Hallelujah. We'll be right back in just a minute.
KJAA and the entire Lettuce Belt welcomes you to Christmas, Christmas in the Lettuce Belt. Bring the family, only $3 at the Barnes & Noble Rodeo, 555 East Leamington. That's the Barnes & Noble Rodeo, 555 East Leamington, sponsored by KJAA and all of our partners. As we go
along, okay, I'm Bob Heavenly, and this card says, tell a Christmas story. Okay, I didn't know that I was going to come into work today. The guy supposed to do the shift is sick, and they called me because I'm the next person that's supposed to work this shift, so... having a good Christmas? Are you good? And I remember one Christmas when I was a boy, and this is the meaning of Christmas for me. I'm gonna Jesus.
KJAA, Lettuceville.
Okay, bye bye. 22 minutes, half an hour. I'm Bill Heavenly. Ooh, boy. Well, I have a couple phone calls here from people saying, is there something wrong with me? No, I was working really hard today unpacking, wrapping Christmas. No, I wasn't wrapping, I was unwrapping Christmas presents. I wrapped them last night, so no one will unwrap them today. Okay, here's a good Christmas story. When I was a little kid, I came downstairs and I saw my father, and he was putting his pants on.
KJAA, Christmas Stories. If you have a favorite Christmas story, send it to KJAA, Lettuceville, Post Office Box 4 at the corner of Dooley and Gnarly in Lettuceville.
That's right. You have a Christmas story? And here's one right now.
My name is Margaret Brown. I live in Lettuceville. And my husband...
There's something wrong with her. Try again.
My name is Margaret Brown. I live in Lettuceville. My husband, Harley, died 3 years ago today, putting up Christmas lights. He had just put the elk and the reindeer on our front lawn when he fell from the roof and was impaled on the elk horns. I'd like to just say, Merry Christmas, Harvey, wherever you are. I suspect it's hell. I really do. But even though you lived a very unprincipled and immoral life, you were a tremendous lover, terrific in bed, even though I know I won't see you when I go to heaven because I was the one that saved the money and lived a pristine life. But, Harvey, thank you for a good life. I know you're cooking slowly down there with Satan. But thank you, and Merry Christmas, darling.
K KJAA Christmas Stories. If you have a particularly heartfelt Christmas story, send it to us, KJAA Lettuceville. Now back to Bob Heverly.
Oh, me? Okay. Right. That's great. Did you know that my aunt makes the best eggnog? God. Am I dead? Oh, it's a song. I thought... Ring,
are you listening in the lane? Bob Heverly is fired.
Yay, well, have a happy Christmas. Come up next is Casey Kasem on the number one station for Christmas music, KJAA.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Yeah, the great Bob Heverly. And I think Bob is going to be playing an hour of Christmas music next week on our show, so don't miss it. Bob is a tremendous talent, one of the top disc jockeys in the country, but he is an alcoholic, and he refuses to get treatment. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Our world-famous Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD is available for sale. You can pick up the phone and call 877-616-7445. I say this with as much humility as I can muster, but, you know, for much of my career, I was so humble, and I was such a humble, modest guy, with good reason, because most of the stuff I did was crud. But now we have a show that we're very proud of, and we have pumped out some comedy over the last 12 years that is nothing less than revolutionary. Now, and I say that, like I say, with as much humility as I can muster, and that ain't much. This CD is the best one we've ever done. What has the CD got on it? It's got different characters interacting with callers, characters that I play. What's a character? It's a person who represents something. It's like I'm an actor and I play a certain character. And I'm interacting with callers on a variety of subjects. Molestation of children. The priests. The 9/11. Chandra Levy. The Olympics. A million different things. And all of it together represents a satirization of talk radio and the media in general. That's what we do. The people that we're talking to, they don't know that it's me doing a phony voice. See what I'm saying? Even though I had breakfast this morning with a guy who said that he's been calling the show for 3 years, and he gets in all the time, and he knows the joke. Yeah, Chris is looking at me like, what? Him and his brother, by the way. The former game show host, Mark DiCarlo. He calls all the time. Every week, regularly gets through. Gets through you, man. Nice going, Pelton. Thought you were, invulnerable, huh? Well, while Chris sort of revels and just lies around in the muck of his own disgrace, let's listen now to this from our world-famous CD, Margaret, talking about security at the Olympics.
Obviously, this woman's a fruitcake. I don't even know who Margaret Gray is.
I beg your pardon.
I beg yours. I am talking now.
You
think you're some beauty or something that somebody's waiting for to rape. I got news for you, lady. Nobody would rape you. I haven't seen your face yet, but you definitely are out of it, totally out of it, and you're on an ego ship that's a mile high. How dare you talk about security making $8 an hour and working their tails off.
They're working their rear ends off. That's right. They're those.
How dare you put them down? Who do you think you are, lady, that you should carry a gun into an Olympic thing? Who are you?
I happen to be a National
nationally recognized newspaper columnist.
No, you're not a recognized newspaper columnist because I never even heard of you.
Well, you
and
have to be able to read.
You sound like a nut.
You need
you
to be able to
like
read.
A nut. You obviously would like to see somebody attack you or something because you need the attention. How dare
that
you?
That is very destructive for one woman to say to another. And another thing.
I don't care. I'm saying it to a fruitcake. With all those beautiful athletes there, why for 1 minute would you think that somebody's out to get you and you need a gun? Why should you have a gun at the Olympics when nobody else can have a gun?
May I ask you a question?
And those $8 an hour people are working to protect
I'd like
the rest
to ask,
of us.
Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Ask me anything.
Have you ever made love to a Greek man?
Oh, stop with that nonsense, too. You should have held on to him, lady, because you were lucky if you got that far with
that. Oh, really?
Anybody.
I should hold on to a man who's eating a sandwich.
I got news for you, lady. There's something wrong with you. You should have grabbed him when you could have. Because there's no way anybody would even bother with
you. Well, what's your nickname? Grand Canyon?
You're a wise guy.
This is really disgusting.
You are just a filthy-minded...
Do we need to talk about this?
I didn't bring it up. She brought up because she's jealous I had a Greek and she didn't.
Oh, God, listen
well,
to this
Well, then why
woman.
Else would you talk about it that way?
You're the one who brought it up,
kidding?
Margaret.
Are you kidding or something? What's wrong with you, lady?
Kidding you about what?
I can't believe you, of all people, should have nothing on you when you come in. If you hold a media card, I cannot believe you hold a media card. Because whoever you work for certainly should investigate you and investigate you thoroughly. You're a bigot, for one thing. You're a bigot. And another thing is that you think you're high and mighty over there. And you're putting down everybody else. And how dare
you? Katie Couric was once taken by a Greek. She knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, will you stop with that Greek stuff? What is this nonsense? You sound like an idiot. I can't believe that you hold a press card.
You know, just because you drive a train between your legs... And out your mouth.
What kind of conversation are we having now? I thought we were talking about the security at the Olympics.
We certainly were. I don't know what's wrong with this woman.
She insulted me in the memory of Alex.
Lady, you're a pervert.
Who's Alex?
You are a sick pervert. That's what you are.
I'm a pervert now because
I don't believe you even work for a newspaper. If you do, I am shocked.
I'm a woman who stands up for her rights, and you can't take it because you're sitting there doing nothing.
Is that right?
I go to the Salt Lake City venue carrying a weapon. Any man tries to get my sweet booty, he'll pay for it.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. You wish. Lady, you wish. That's what you want.
Your sweet booty.
You are sweet as they come.
None of those bad boys get to touch this sweet thing here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Phil,
she's wacko, Phil. I'm not even going to continue with this conversation.
I'm wacko because I carry a weapon for the natural fear I might be raped behind a Greek food tent.
The natural fear. This is not a natural fear. This is a paranoia that was born of some ill-fated love affair you had with a Greek in California, wherever it was.
Pennsylvania.
Okay, great. And the guy was eating a pita with olive oil while he was making love to you. What kind of a memory is that? He sounds like a pig.
It was exciting. Marge, you understand. There's something about a man eating while he's making love to you.
No, I don't understand. I don't understand a thing
that you
have said. I'm sorry.
I do not understand. So you
are a very sick woman. Let me tell you that.
A man eating a hot dog when he was making love to you?
Yeah. No, ma'am. No way. You are
what
sick.
What kind of weird...
Conversation is this.
I find it very hard. You never had a man say squat over an egg.
Okay, that's it.
That did it, Phil.
Did you want to cut her off? Wait a second. What do you mean that
she's
did
impossible.
What?
What
did I do?
What did you do?
What didn't I do?
You are a filthy-minded bigot, is what you are. And
you don't deserve
to be on the line talking to anybody.
Do you know what it's like to have a man dripping cucumber dressing
you
on your...
Stop that kind of talk! I am a 75-year-old woman married 54 years old to my husband, and nobody has ever spoken to me like that.
I am talking to you woman to woman. Don't talk to me woman to woman,
because you're no woman.
You'll be standing in line at the Slovakia.
You're no woman. You're a pervert.
You're weird, baby. Really weird.
Pervert.
Oh, it's baby all of a sudden, huh?
Oh, well, listen to her now, Phil. She's going to start on you.
Baby
I
baby all of a sudden. He's calling me baby.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because you're so gorgeous. You're gorgeous. That's what you think. Phil, goodbye.
Let me tell you something. That wasn't cucumber dressing on my face.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, she's a slob. She's an absolute slob.
Mr. Henry, I want you
to... Good night, Phil.
I want to talk woman to woman to you.
You want to talk woman to me?
Do you speak Greek?
No, I don't speak
Listen to this. Sladustus nakada. Do you know what that
good
means?
Good night. I don't want to waste my time
it
with you.
It means deli cucumber dressing.
Thank you.
Obviously.
I got the thing on repeat. There it is. That is from our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD, World Famous. And we're just featuring a few cuts today because we want to give you a taste of what's on the CD. So you'll buy it. And buy it in time for Christmas. Spread the cheer. Pick it up and help out my friend's place. We've been partners with my friend's place now since 1997, selling our CD and giving our proceeds over to these guys that do tremendous work on behalf of homeless kids. And I wanted to mention this because Janice brought this up, but it's really important. You may think that these are just homeless kids from California. They're not. This is Hollywood that we're talking about. Hollywood, California is a magnet for children from all over the country. And what winds up happening is they wind up living on the streets down here in Hollywood, living in storm drains, living behind buildings, living in abandoned apartments. They're involved in violence. They're involved in drugs. There's prostitution. They're completely lost. Their lives have been ruined, basically. They come from Portland. They come from Portland, Maine. They come from Michigan. They come from Wisconsin. They come from Georgia. They come from Florida. They're from everywhere. Colorado, Arizona, Idaho. I don't care where. I mean, they're here from the Bahamas. They come out here because they think they're going to be in movies. They think they'll get a movie job in about 2 months, right? Then they realize the reality. They're living on the streets. They got nothing. What my friend's place does is gives them a resource center to try to get their lives turned around, gives them job counseling, gives them a computer to use, a place they can clean up, a place they can get some medicine, a place that they can sit and get counseling. It is not a shelter. It is not a shelter. It's a resource center. And they've been there since the late 80s. That's who we help. We appreciate your help. It's the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby, tell me, what is the guidelines that you guys have published?
Phil, these are, it's a published report that our homeowners association put together for all corporations and for country clubs and their community centers.
And what's it called?
It's a report on social and corporate guidelines. It gives advice to club members and employees and homeowners and what they can expect as it pertains to Christmas parties. To give you an example, our homeowners association Christmas party is this coming Saturday night. And as is the case at all Christmas parties, I will sit at one of the head tables along with my husband Steve because I'm the Homeowners Association president. And it's not unlike what a lot of companies do where the president of the company or the CEO sits at a table and select employees are allowed to sit with him. And country clubs the same way. The older members sit at the same table.
Well, our Christmas party here is like that, where the talent sits up there with the president and...
Well, that's the way we do it at our homeowners association. Steve's landscaping business, last Friday night, there were a lot of hurt feelings. And I'll tell you, this is why we've published this book. You don't let just anyone sit with you at the head table at a Christmas party. Tradition dictates in our case that we invite two other couples to sit with his or her husband or wife, Steve and I. And that's as our way of showing our solidarity with the homeowners and our way of showing that even though we run the Homeowners Association, we haven't lost touch.
All right, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates. Located where, Bobby?
That's in West Hills, California.
In West Hills, California. Your Christmas party this week, you felt the need to publish a protocol guide, right?
Yes, on who gets to sit with us and who doesn't. And we felt it was necessary because we found... And I said to Steve, it's interesting, if we are having this problem, I'm sure there are a lot of people that work for companies that are having a problem. Country club presidents are having a problem. I want to be very clear. At our Homeowners Association Christmas party, we have couples that sit with us. Richard and Celia Newell. Actually, Richard and Celia Newell are a new family that can't sit with us. I'm sorry about that.
All right, now why can't they sit with you?
They're a new family. we don't want them to sit with us because they're a brand new family. Celia is a wonderful lady, but she is blind. As a result, her eyes are unusual looking, and I don't know if you've ever seen blind people, Phil.
Look like she's, Mr. Henry, this is Steve. Dooley?
Yes, Steve.
Looks like she only got an eyeball.
It looks like it's just eyeball with none of the dark. Do you know what I mean?
The lady is vision, she's blind.
Yeah, she's blind.
Well, I think that's a cataract. Those are cataracts that make it look like they have no eyes.
Yes, it's very disturbing.
She only has only eyeball. It's not that she's blind, but only the eyeball.
I understand. It makes it look like there's only eyeball because it's a cataract. So what does this got to do with they can't sit with you?
You know what, Phil? I found it disturbing. I brought it to the... I did not make the unilateral decision that Richard and Celia could not sit with us. Usually new homeowners sit with us at the Homeowners Association table. But I decided I have to bring this to the Homeowners Steering Committee.
And they decide who sits at your table at the Christmas party?
Yes. And we discussed it, and we took a vote, and it was 3-4, it was 3/4 to 25%, and I can give you the numbers. We had about 12 voting members found her eyes were disturbing, so that's why I can't have them at my table. Plus, I don't want to have to watch what I say. If we have a little wine, we want to be free.
Can you tell me who will be sitting at your table this year and what qualifies them?
Thank you, Phil. Yes, I can.
Only the eyeball.
I understand, Mr. Dooley. We're on to another subject.
Let me, Steve. Phil, what qualifies you to sit with me as the homeowner at this Homeowner Association president table for our Christmas party, or for any business or club for that matter, is relatability. Carol and John Hauser will be sitting with us because we stable our horses together. Carol and I like to ride together. I generally ride early. I get Steve and the boys out of the house, and then I like to ride early, and that's when Carol also likes to ride. A lot of people won't get to sit with their boss at the Christmas party because you don't have anything in common with your boss. The other reason why you may not get to sit with him is he may not be comfortable sitting with you because he didn't really hire you. Maybe a lower department head did. And you have to be able to offer something. And if he doesn't know you, you offer nothing. At our Christmas party, we let Tim and Diane Elway sit with us because she works as a loan officer, and she always has great stories about people who, want to come in for a mortgage and their credit's lousy, and it's hysterical. I mean,
it's really funny.
You mean people who are looking for a mortgage for their home?
And she turns them down, yeah.
I don't know what's funny about that, but...
No, it isn't funny not to have a mortgage, but they bring in, one woman brought in cookies, and it's... It's pretty funny. You really
you got to be there, Phil. It's hysterical.
So we have a lot in common with them.
All right. I want to give our number out, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. At businesses across America, country clubs across America, service organizations, and homeowners associations, Christmas parties will be happening. And perhaps you're used to sitting with your boss at his table, or you have to sit at another table. Ms. Dooley has published a book to tell you why you don't get to sit with your boss, or why you do, and what you can expect. And it's called A Published Report on Social and Corporate Guidelines and Protocol. You are the Homeowners Association president, so you are at the head table.
Yes, we are, Phil. That's correct.
And you have people sitting with you who you say have things in common with you.
That is correct, yeah.
So the advice then is don't expect to be asked to sit with your boss and his wife at their table for your office Christmas party, because you may not be people that they're comfortable with?
Well, yes, exactly. A lot of bosses pretend like they, and I don't want to say pretend, but they really don't like people. Steve and I enjoy interaction. We like to party. We like interaction. We have a good time with it. I love a good laugh. That's why Diane and Tim sit at our table, because she is hysterical. I mean...
Yeah, it's really funny, Phil.
Well, give me the mortgage thing.
Well, no, you've got to understand. People come in with cookies and brownies and, oh, would you please give us a mortgage? And the way she tells it, she says they come in and they, look like they haven't had a bath or whatever. And it's just, the way she tells it is really interesting.
All right.
Steve, for instance, Phil, I'll give you an example. Steve has a wonderful gentleman from Mexico who lays a lot of sod for him. My husband has a landscaping business, and this gentleman is an expert at laying sod. But he has these brown and crooked teeth, and I told Steve that he was not to sit at Steve's table. And they put up pictures at the office every year of the Christmas party, and I don't want my picture with, you know, this Mexican.
Bobby, Ms. Dooley, if I may, you're sounding a little classist.
No, that is not the case at all.
Well, you said you don't want your picture with this Mexican.
No, that is not the case at all. Roberta Diaz is a member of our Mother's Cookie Exchange at the Homeowners Association. She's Mexican, or she's Puerto Rican, one of the two, and we are fine with each other. No, it is not racism.
All right, well, then the man has brown teeth, and it...
Well, Phil, his teeth look like... Who was on TV, Steve?
The Queen Mother.
Who?
The Queen Mother.
His teeth are like the Queen Mother's. They are yellow, crooked, and horrible. And I just don't want my picture. It's not going to look good.
So the final advice on whether you're going to sit with your boss at his Christmas at his table at the Christmas party is what?
Well, lower your expectations. Don't think because he hired you, he has to like you. Or in the case of a homeowners association like ours, don't think just because you got to move in, and this is so important, Phil, don't think because you got to move in, it means you are automatically accepted either at the pool, at the Christmas party, or at the cookie exchange. So these are very important things. We lived here. Steve and I were lucky, Phil. When we moved to Western States, immediately people liked us. They immediately saw that we were very with it. And we had three young boys, and we just got it about things. We got it.
I see.
But a lot of it, like the Newells, they're wonderful people. But she looks... If you take your eyelids and you roll your eyes...
I know exactly what you mean. I've seen blind people.
But a lot of blind people have eyes.
They have eyes, sir. They don't have... you can't see the iris, you can't see the pupil, because it's a cataract.
It's a cataract, see?
Like the eyeball.
It is their eyeball, but it's a cataract, sir?
All right.
Yeah, no, we understand what you mean, Phil, but it's very disturbing to see a blind person. So,
well, does that prohibit them from ever, ever again at Christmas parties sitting at your table?
No, this is case by case, year by year.
It's a Cadillac.
That's not a Cadillac, it's a cataract.
I understand.
No, we understand, Phil. Steve was making a joke, you know. But I love dinner parties. I like a good glass of wine. I love a nice shark fin soup, and I love good company. And, you know, if you're asked to sit at our table at the Homeowners Association Christmas party, it doesn't yet mean you're a good friend, but it does mean that you're well on your way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
But, Phil, really, when Diane starts in with those mortgage stories, I swear, I urinate. And I wouldn't say that.
That is not something we need to hear.
I'm sorry I said that, but I really need for you to understand they're hysterical, and they're not putting people down.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley, she's the president, he's the vice president of the Western States Homeowners Association. They have the Christmas party this weekend, and apparently, in order to sit at her table, you have to... In order to sit at the table of your boss, sit at the table of the president of the country club, you have to have a certain standing with the community. I am a little bit disturbed that a new couple moved into their neighborhood, Richard and Celia Newell, and it is traditional for new people to sit at the table, but this woman apparently is vision impaired. She has severe cataracts, and Bobby then says that it looks like she's staring at just the eyeballs with no dark part. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
If you go to your holiday Christmas party this weekend or your office Christmas party and you're not asked to sit at the table with the boss, there are reasons for that, and don't take them personally. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with me. They're the president and vice president of the Western Estate Homeowners Association. They've published a book. It's actually a report called Guidelines on Social and Corporate Etiquette. You do not have people sitting at your table. Why?
Because we're not comfortable with certain... I don't understand your question.
My question is simple. You don't want them there? This lady's blind?
No. Did you ever see Steve
Kung Fu?
Did I ever see Kung Fu? Yes.
All right. Do you remember the guy who said grasshopper?
Yeah, I know the guy.
All right, he had the eyeballs with the black part.
Yes, he had cataracts. The old Chinese guy?
Right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's take some phone calls. Cheryl, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I really think, I don't even see why they got to write a book. They sound like snobs, and they classify people. They make fun of people who need mortgages, which should be personal information.
No, we do not.
You just said you did. We listened to you. And homeowners associations are a pain in the butt. They take your money every month and don't do a damn thing.
Well, maybe yours doesn't.
That they're supposed to do.
Right, maybe yours doesn't. But we work very hard. We've redesigned our gate. We've redesigned our guard shack. We've put in speed bumps. We go around and assess people if their houses are painted the wrong color.
That's a wonderful pat on the back. Mm-hmm. They do these nice things. Both of them do not.
Well,
they
I'm sorry.
Nothing they're supposed to, but they take the money and they have a nice little party and make fun of poor people trying to get mortgages for their home.
That may be.
Or classify them because they can't see well.
Well,
is that their fault? Did they ask to be that way? Do you feel uncomfortable? I think, honey, you need to learn more etiquette yourself.
No, I'm very... I live in a 7,000-square-foot home.
I'm not so happy for you. That's what I mean by classifying.
Well, what I'm saying is...
peasants here.
Where you live may not be economically as advantageous where we live, and maybe your homeowners association... needs to have some better people in it. Where do you live?
Maybe it does, but you still doesn't classify people.
Well, let's get to what this lady's talking about. You won't let a woman sit at your table who is blind.
She has no eyes. It's disturbing.
And it's her fault.
No, it's not her fault.
Then
but let me ask you a question.
Penalized?
Let me ask you this. If she's blind, how does she know she's even sitting at our table? That's number one.
Voice?
Number two.
Voice?
I'm sorry?
Is there any compassion in your voice?
What if no one's talking?
Voice?
What if no one's talking to her?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Other people at the table.
You see, I got a phone call from Janice Greeley. You know who she is.
Janice is on our steering committee for the Summertacular, yes. And she's not a very big supporter of our HOA.
Well, she said that you and your husband had a plan to put Ms. Newell and her husband at a table out on the driveway.
As I said, she wouldn't know where
she... sounds like a woman that would do that. In my opinion...
She wouldn't know where she was.
She's blind. We could say she's at the main table and have her out in the street.
So what if you're fat and I don't want you to sit by me? Let's put you outside in the driveway.
Why would I want to be at your homeowners association?
Well, that's what you're doing. You're still classifying people.
No, but my homeowners association is very attractive to you. Yours isn't to me. You see?
How would you know? Don't know. You're classifying on something you do not even know.
How many square feet? Let's talk. Let's whip it out and let's
show. The house itself?
Yes.
The house itself is 4,000 square feet.
See? I told you. I told you.
Enough for you, my dear.
I told you.
Classifying.
I told
that's
you.
All right, Bobby. Good for you. That lady's got
You are a snob.
4,000 square feet's pretty big, Cheryl.
It's not as big as mine.
Oh, look at this. Now we got house envy going on.
You know how hard my husband and I worked for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or you get yours handed to you, baby.
Look, Cheryl, a head table is for sitting, not for servicing. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like you guys need to go sit in the bathroom and learn some proper etiquette.
Well, we're not trying to be mean, but it's just that...
What about these stories about the mortgages?
They're funny,
that's
Phil.
Wrong. That's
the people
wrong.
Are
laughing
yeah.
at people.
Your friend, who's a loan officer at the bank, yucks it up about people coming in who need to refinance their
and
home,
you know
huh?
What? She has no business divulging any of that information to anybody.
Why not?
That
Why
is
not?
Totally
Well, they
disgusting.
Don't know. There was a couple she was telling me
about. And
here
they are humbly bringing
something.
Humbly bringing a gift.
Listen, you've got to hear this.
Play about
it? No, I know that, and they're very sweet.
Sure. But you're just sitting there saying, you're laughing about it. Make up your mind, dear.
How funny. Listen to this. This one woman comes in, she's baked a cake. The woman has no collateral. They do not have any. Their stocks aren't diversified at all. Her portfolio was empty.
What do you mean, her portfolio? The woman's looking to refinance a house with interest rates low.
Anyway,
she comes. What is that of her business?
Mm-hmm.
What
she
is comes. Your business?
Yeah, and this woman, Diane, I'd like her full name, and I'd like to know where she works.
I sure heck would too.
I'd like to get her fired.
Well, you're not. No business giving out personal information on anybody. That is against the law itself.
She's not really duped.
She's given out names. She's saying about people. That's against the law.
Yeah, back out of it now, dear.
You know, the two of you are really jealous, and that's all right.
Jealous of what, honey?
Jealous of what I've got.
I'm very content with what I have.
I have a husband, three sons.
I have two wonderful children. I have a husband.
We're putting in a gazebo.
We have a business together.
I have a navigator.
We work hard together.
And we have a landscaping business.
Okay, whoops.
I'm the president of my homeowners association.
Oh,
I have also started a monthly bingo for charity.
Oh, wonderful.
Listen to
and
you.
Who gets to get into the mm-hmm. charity? Yeah,
I guess
like
the blind
that.
Lady doesn't get in either, does she?
Oh, rest
well,
you're probably can't, fat or Mexican either.
She can't put the cart down right. She'll just have it in the wrong thing.
Oh, and heaven forbid
right.
you help my dear.
Thank you, Cheryl. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley. Don't expect to sit at the president of the company's table at the Christmas party or their table. They have a right not to have you sitting there. They may not like you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Listen to our archived shows, 30 days of archived shows. We have almost 8-9 years of archived short form and long form comedy bits, all stuff from our radio show going back years, long before we were syndicated, long before we were in LA, long before we were in Miami, long before any of this hell visited me. Long before any of this pain and hell entered my life. Check out our website, philhenryshow.com. In fact, I met today an attorney who is a copyright attorney. Just a listener. She has a backstage pass. She says it's a great way for her to catch up on the show when she's working like morning, noon, and night. And her hours are squirrely, man. It's like having TiVo for radio. It's like Radio TiVo, the Phil Hendry Show website. You can hear, if you have a backstage pass, today's show anytime, on demand, day or night. So if you'd like a backstage pass, go to our website. Go to our souvenir shop. Pick up our CD. Pick up any sundry number of things. Buy until you can't buy anymore. Paula Poundstone was given custody of her kids. You know who Paula Poundstone is? She's a comedian who was granted full custody of her adopted children. She had those children had been in state custody since Poundstone was arrested last year on child endangerment and lewd conduct charges. The lewd conduct stemmed from a June 2001 arrest. They were dropped in October of last year. She did plead guilty to felony child endangerment and a misdemeanor count of inflicting injury on a child. Wow. We're celebrating, she says. I have my Christmas gift. I drank too much. I caused problems. I'm more than willing to accept blame for that. I don't pretend to be a victim. All I can say is it's the way it's been carried out has not been in the best interest of my kids. Now, I wonder where Gloria Allred was during all of that. I didn't hear a peep one out of her. Now, I understand that the authorities of the state of California investigated and came to certain conclusions, but hey, the lady's got her kids back. Gloria, do you think that she should? What's your opinion about that? We want to know. We want to see you on TV one more time. We just got to see you one more time. Hey, Fox Channel, CNN, get Gloria on there again, man. It's been like 48 minutes. I ain't seen her on there lately. Get her on there so she can pretend like she's pissed about something. You know, there's an old saying in the legal world. It's called ambulance chaser. And when you got Super All Red to the rescue, brother, you're in good hands with All Red. You know what an ambulance chaser is? It's not a very respected thing to be in the legal profession. It means you're walking into funeral parlors and you're dropping your card on people. That's what Gloria does for a living. She's flashy. And why do I have such angst? I'll tell you why. She was employed by another radio station in this city. She was employed by KFI Jr. for years. KFI Jr. just fired her. So now I get to talk about her. Because before that, the prohibition, don't talk about the other talent, because then people will want to go listen to them and it may be really good. In Gloria's case, it wasn't that good. I could have said, hey, go listen to Gloria right now over on KFI Jr. And they would have said, thank you, and come back. I'm sure she's a fine attorney, I guess. I wouldn't know. But Charles Barkley had the last word on Gloria Allred on CNN when he apparently told her, you act like God, why don't you go back to your office, wait for some cases to come in, and shut up. I'll tell you why we got a problem with her. Nobody believes she's sincere. Nobody believes she cares. Nobody really believes she's sincere. There's these people who, like, take a position because it's contrary and will stir up controversy. Those are the ones that are the real phony balonies in this world. We got a lot of them in the talk radio game. And in the legal world, we have our friend Gloria there. She just takes any old position that's going to get people pissed, so long as it sort of toes a certain political line that she's become famous for. Like, whatever it is, liberal, Democrat, I don't know what she is. That kind of stuff is so manipulative, it just bothers the hell out of me. And then she gets on TV and pretends like she gives a crap about Michael Jackson's kid. That was the last straw. People are finally getting sick and tired of looking at her, sick and tired of listening to her phony positions on things, and tired of listening to her pretend like she cares about people when all she cares about is her own mug on that television. The only thing, she'll drop everything to get on TV. I bet you she would have dropped Michael Jackson's kid off that balcony if CNN was in the room with a camera running. Talk about dropping everything. I think it's terrible what they did to Michael Jackson's kid. CNN's here, Miss Allred. Oh, well. Ah! Kid hits the pavement at 100 feet. When you get so hooked on media that you'll do anything to get on television, you're lost, man. Unlike me. I couldn't care less where I get that NBC deal.
Oh, please, God, let it come through and I can finally get out of this freaking hell of a job in radio.
I couldn't care less. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You'll see the Phil Henry Show. Some other things we just wanted to clear up here before we move on. Martin Luther King Day is still causing some problems, this time in Old Virginia. And apparently kids who want to make up a day in school from their ski week, and I hope I'm getting this right, I'm probably not, but I don't really care, they can use Martin Luther King Day as the day they go back to school. You know? So even though this has been a holiday that's been around for a long time, even though that this is a holiday that is a national holiday, they're still having a problem with it down south. Just like they did in Arizona, you know. His name was Martin Luther King. They decided to name a day after him. He was a man who almost single-handedly, along with the help of a lot of other people, brought the idea of injustice to a segment of our society to the fore and to the national media's eyes. He's a man who used the tool of economic boycott to sway the powers that be in a lot of southern states and elsewhere. He's a man that used the technique and the philosophy of pacifism to forward his idea. He was a rather innovative man along the lines of a Mahatma Gandhi, but much more modern, much more in tune, much more connected to the society. He realized that nobody was going to give rights to black Americans because they had just a great feeling in their heart for African Americans. He realized that they had to economically hit them. They had to hit them in the wallet. That's exactly what he did. He was a great man. He has a day named after him. Get used to it. Get on the stick. Get on a bandwagon. Quit behaving like a lot. Quit with your bull crap. Nobody believes for a minute that you got some problem with Martin Luther King being this or that. You don't like him because he's black. So just admit it over there, Virginie. Now, Arizona, for a long time, didn't have Martin Luther King Day. The National Football League said, well, that's fine. If you don't have to have Martin Luther King Day, we're not going to have a Super Bowl there. Well, they did what most of these states do. They screamed and they cried, how dare you boycott us for our beliefs? No, we're not boycotting you for your beliefs. We're expressing ours. You don't want to have Martin Luther King Day? We don't want to have the Super Bowl there. Guess who's got a Martin Luther King Day now? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they whipped around real fast. Now, you keep applying that economic pressure. That's what turns people around. Nobody ever gave anybody any rights because they just wanted to be great guys and they believed in Jesus and they were singing All God's Chillin' and Mahatma came down from the mountain. They gave them their rights because they were hurting money-wise. They didn't have any money. The money stopped coming in. There ain't no money there at the department store. There wasn't any money there coming into the ball field. There wasn't no money there coming into the boiled peanut business. And what do they got in Virginia? Maybe they don't have no more money coming into those Revolutionary War monuments and bed and breakfasts. And let's not forget cigarettes. Yeah, sure, that'll work. Well, all right, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I ain't quitting for nobody. Just get on the wagon, will you? Martin Luther King Day ain't going away. Ain't going away. It ain't going to go away. It ain't going to go over my dead body. It'll go away. And you're just going to have to get used to it. You don't give kids the option to take their day on Martin Luther King Day. I tell you what, why don't they just take the day on Christmas? Have them take it on President's Day, Memorial Day, any other day. Not Martin Luther King Day. Well, it comes around Ski Week. Aha, have them do it on President's Day. That's in February. And as far as Major League Baseball lifting the ban on Pete Rose, I hope they do, and the sooner the better. Just get Pete Rose back into the game. Quit screwing around and pretending like you guys are doing something other than making a couple of bucks. Major League Baseball ain't a religion. It's a place where guys bat balls around the infield, bat a few balls out of the outfield, and occasionally, if they get paid enough, they'll knock one over the fence. That's what it is, the game. This idea that Pete Rose is somehow a bad man and has tarnished, has sullied, has impugned, and has stunk up the image of Major League Baseball. Who are you guys kidding? Who are you kidding? They shouldn't ban anybody from baseball. Nobody. They shouldn't even ban guys that bet on games from baseball. Whoever said that betting on baseball was a bad idea? Oh, well, then the fans won't know whether they got a good product or not. Yeah, they will. If they're baseball fans, they'll know. If they're real baseball fans, well, you can't have players betting. That means they'll throw the game. So they throw the game. So what? It's their business, man. It ain't my job to regulate their stupid business with regard to whether they want to mess it up or not. That's like saying, you are not allowed to piss off your customers. Oh, okay. Huh? There's now a federal law that says that Phil Hendry can't come on the air and express a contrary opinion and piss off his listeners. Because if he does, then no listeners will listen to his show, and we can't have that now, can we? I hope they bring Rose back. I hope they stick Shoeless Joe Jackson back up the ass of baseball. Whatever else they need to do, stick them all back in there. Okay? Let's rehabilitate them all. Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, the whole crew. Stick them all into the Hall of Fame if they're worthy. And quit pretending like you got some kind of a business going that is anything other than you hit a ball around, the guys go back to the hotel, they blast up, they come back out, they screw a hooker, they go back to their wives, they get out of here. They're role models for the kids. Oh, will you stop it already with the role models for the kids? You're giving everybody a headache with that. You really are. Nobody's buying it anymore, baby. You want to know who the role models are? We've already told you. There were about 400 of them that got buried in that rubble at the World Trade Center. There, how's that for a role model? And as far as your baseball business goes, it ain't the job of the government. It ain't my job. And it ain't even, I don't know whose job it is, but I don't care who bets on baseball. I'll let all the players bet on baseball. Doesn't matter to me. I don't have to watch the crap can sport. And then it'll go out of business. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we can self-regulate. Oh, okay. Go ahead and self-regulate if you have to. Whatever. Okay. I tell you what. Don't let them gamble, but then kind of change your mind on gamblers and let them back into the Hall of Fame. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing. I thought Pete Rose was banned because he gambled, because it says there on the sign, don't gamble, right? Isn't that your rule? Yes, it is. Well, we just changed it. Oh, all right. You're screwier than freaking three coats of paint, Jim. To gain reinstatement under the agreed scenario would take effect November the 1st, Rose will sign a document stating he bet on baseball. He's adamantly denied so. So now he's going to say that he did. Negotiations for Rose's reinstatement began shortly after Selig met with the... That'll do it. That'll bring baseball back. Pete Rose. There you go. They really need Peter. I tell you what. Stick him over there at the Bellagio, man. He can start taking bets. 1-800-449-8686. Do we have time to play another one from the Best of CD? I don't know. We'll find out when we come back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now another cut from our Best of CD, World Famous, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002, available now on our website.
Okay, what city do you live in, ma'am?
I'm in Coconut Creek.
Coconut Creek.
Right.
That's in the United States, right?
Florida.
Okay.
And what is your name, sir?
And my name's Jay Santos, ma'am. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Santos. Santos?
What if this lady, she's talking to her daughter...
Hold on, Phil. That's S...
I can't hear you.
S-E.
S-E?
Yeah, A.
S-E-A?
R.
S-E-A-R.
L.
What was that?
S-E-A-R-L.
L.
R.
Go ahead.
J.
J?
M.
M? Let me repeat that, please.
Yes, go right.
Sound like that. S-E-A-R-L-O-G-M?
Yes, that's right. Santos.
Let me ask you a question. Your last name is Santos?
Yeah.
What do you mean, S-E-A-R-L-O-G-M?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That is how it's pronounced, all right? And my family
what language?
My family's from Croatia.
From where? Croatia?
From Croatia, yes, ma'am.
You know, they had a lot of spies from Croatia.
I got another question. What if the woman doesn't want to give you...
What?
There was a plane hijacked by Croatians a few years ago.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Roslyn.
It's Roslyn what?
I said Brodsky.
How do you spell that?
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
S-A-Y.
No, S-K.
B-R-O-D-S-A-Y.
No, you're not saying it right.
All right, B-R-O.
D.
D. T.
D is in David.
D is in, I'm terribly sorry. B-R-O-D.
S-K-Y.
S-K-I? How do you
we must have a bad connection.
All right, man, here's what I got. G-R-U-V-E-I.
Well, that's not Brodsky, that's Groove.
Now, you didn't get what I said.
What did you say, ma'am? You said...
I said Brodsky. I said B as in boy.
B as in boy.
R-O-D as in David.
R as in what?
What?
R as in what?
As in Roslyn.
All right, R as in Roslyn. O as in...
O as in orange.
Okay. Then D as in David.
Yeah.
And S as in Leonard.
What?
I mean,
S as in Sam.
Sam.
K.
K as in what?
K as in kitten.
And then Y as
That's
in...
That's right.
All right. Y as in what?
What are you asking why as in what? Why as in yellow?
Yo-yo?
Yeah, yo-yo. There you go. Yo-yo.
I can't read my own writing. I don't know that.
Brodsky. Never mind, Rosalind. Thank you.
What is your social security number again?
I'm not giving it to you.
All right, I do need something. I need a bank, current balance in your bank account then.
Are you kidding?
I need to have that. How old is your daughter, ma'am? Anything. Just give me a number. How old are you?
I am
80. What's your phone number? You're 80.
All right.
That's right.
Never mind, Rosalind. Don't give him any more information.
Okay. When are you interfering with the anti-terrorism?
Oh, shut up. Great. There's Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That's a cut on our world-famous The Best of the Phil Henry 2002 CD. It's a double CD set for only $20. We're giving you 135 minutes of material for the same price as last year's CD, $20. And all the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. They are runaway kids from everywhere, all over the country, every state in the union. They have come to Hollywood to be in the movies, and it ain't working out too good. Thank you for your interest, and check out our website or call this number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.